Bibles and open them to Matthew 28. Now, I got this message before I read our Sunday school lesson. So we're going to read our Sunday school lesson again. But I've got a little story to read to you. A Sunday school teacher asked her class the Sunday before Easter about the meaning of the holiday. Now, I want you to listen very closely. Easter is when all the family gets together and they have a big turkey and sing about the pilgrims and all of that, replied one student. No, that's not it at all, said the teacher. I know what Easter is, a second student responded. Easter is when you get this pine tree and cover it with decoration and exchange gifts and sing a lot of songs. No, that's not either, the teacher repeated. Then the third student responded. Easter is when Jesus was killed, put in a tomb, and left for 3 days. The teacher replied, he knows what Easter is all about. He knows. Finally, we found a student that knows. But then the boy went on. Then everybody gathers at the tomb and waits to see if Jesus comes out. And if he sees his shadow, he has to go back in for 7 weeks. I'm afraid our society has got that way. I'm afraid our society has forgotten all about what Easter is all about. Right. I'm afraid we're losing a whole generation of kids that no longer represent a Christian nation. Amen. That no longer realize what Easter is really all about. Because they're not being taught. Their parents are not teaching them. And as well as that, they're not being taught about Easter, about Jesus rising from the dead, about his sacrifice on the cross, even in a lot of our churches today.
Amen.
Listen, my friend, the resurrection is one of the most important things that we find in the scripture. Without the resurrection, we would not have eternal life. Without the resurrection, we would not have the ability to rise again when Jesus comes to get us.
Right.
It all has to circle around the resurrection of Christ. So the message this morning is, Christ arose, so what? Now I want you to think about that. How's the resurrection relevant to our lives today? We need to understand the meaning of Christmas is a theological matter. The fact of Christmas is a historical matter, but the benefits of Easter are a personal matter. I want you to know that each one of us are affected by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just a single person, but everybody in this church is affected by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today I want us to address the benefits of the resurrection, and I want to answer the question, the resurrection, so what? Christ arose, so what? What difference can the resurrection make in your life and mine? In Matthew 28, if you'll stand with me, we'll read the first 10 verses. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and beheld him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the risen Savior that we come to worship today. We thank you, Lord, for giving him the power to raise himself from the dead. We thank you, Lord, for that angel that rolled the stone away so that the people could see that he had risen. We thank you, Lord, for everyone in the scriptures that worshiped him. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to come today as we assemble together to worship you, a true and living God. We praise you, we glorify you, for it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
So what does the resurrection of Jesus mean to us today? We want to ask you that question. Christ arose, so what? The resurrection, first of all, brings significance to my personal life. The resurrection brings significance to our personal lives. Some studies reveal that one of the biggest personal problems many of us have is a feeling of insignificance. Listen, many preachers feel insignificant. Many people in the church don't have a feeling of self-fulfillment or self-worth. They feel insignificant. And I want to tell you, you're not insignificant to God. God loves you, and God has a plan for your life. Yes. God has a plan for every one of our lives. God wants us to fulfill that purpose, and God gives us the Holy Spirit inside our lives so that we can be significant in the world as we worship him, as we tell other people about the Savior. Yes. You are not insignificant. The diameter of the planet is 7,900 miles. Its mass is 6,588 quintillion tons. The population of the world is about 7.9 billion people. These 7.9 billion people are spread across seven continents and live in 195 different countries. And here we are today, very small fraction of the percentage of the globe of the world, and just a little speck among that 7.9 million people. But I want to tell you today that you are important to God. You have significance to God as one of his children. You are one of his children that he loves, that he cares for, and that he's always promised to be with you no matter what you go through. Whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's a sickness, whether it is something that you hate to be facing today, God has promised to walk with you through that trial.
Amen.
God has walked with you through every decision you make, through every struggle you go through. God is always there. We all had the feeling that if we were taken away from this world in which we live, it might not make much of a difference. But the resurrection of Jesus shatters these negative thoughts with a powerful benefit. Scripture says that you and I really matter to God. Listen, the world won't change much when I die. The world will go on. My family will go on. But that does not change my significance to God. Nor does it change your significance to God. You're still important to him. You will be important to him until you walk the last walk in this life, until you go home to be with God. Listen, Out of the 7.9 billion people, God has singled you out personally as the recipient of his attention. Paul tells us, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to show you a passage of scripture here to tell you just how important you are to God personally. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you. Now notice Paul didn't say, I declare unto the church. I declare unto a lot of people. He said, I declare unto you personally. Notice what he said. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you were saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The point is that Jesus died and rose again for you personally. If you would have been the only person on the planet, Christ would have still died for you. He would have still came to save you. Think about that. 7.9 billion people on the world, but you're important to God. He knows the hairs of your head. He knows everything you're going through. He knows all your troubles, all your strifes, all your worries. He knows everything about you. And he still cares for you personally.
Yeah.
You are significant to God. The resurrection gave new meaning to the early disciples' lives. They began seeing things with a new perspective. They were given new direction. They were changed forever. They went forth with a new zeal. Life once again became worth living. The same is true for you and I today. We're filled with the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent to the world after his resurrection. What does the Holy Spirit do? He empowers us for service. He guides us in our daily walk.
Amen.
He lives inside of us to teach us the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible says that he is constantly teaching us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Amen.
And in a world that has gone haywire, in a government that no longer honors God, we are still significant to God because we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that empowers us, gives us strength and boldness to witness for Christ, brings new meaning into our lives, and makes our life worth living. Secondly, the resurrection brings meaning to my present life. Thomas Aquinas wrote this, there is within every soul a thirst for happiness and meaning. Everyone wants his or her life to count and make difference in the world. Many people, unfortunately, have never found purpose for their lives. They search, they hunt, they strive for answers, but they always come up short. Good Friday was the worst day possible for the disciples. Jesus had been condemned and sentenced to death. Can you imagine walking with the Savior for 3.5 years and all of a sudden he's arrested, he's condemned to death, and he dies on the cross? What could have been worse for the disciples? What could have made them feel any more defeated? What could have happened in their personal life that could have caused them to be depressed any more than Jesus' death? Listen, the resurrection gave new meaning to their lives. The resurrection gave new meaning to the disciples. It gave them a new purpose in life. It gave them a new meaning in life. It brought them out of that depressed state and let them know that Jesus was once again alive. Listen, my friend, and it can do the same for you today. Listen, we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're filled with God's presence. And I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit is God. Because the Trinity is made up of three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all God. That's hard to understand. But they're all God. I'll explain it to you in a simpler way. Take an apple. An apple has three parts to it. An apple has an outer skin, the parts you eat, and the seeds. The Trinity is found in an apple. Has three parts, but it's one apple. Same way the Trinity. God has one purpose in three unique beings. And that Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is God. He knows the will of God. He knows the mind of God. He knows everything about God. And what He does is lead us in a path of righteousness. Amen. He wants to lead us so we will walk in a righteous path. So we will do the things that are pleasing to God. And let me tell you something. That's His purpose. That's what He was sent for. He was sent to teach us, to train us, to equip us, and to help us live the Christian life. Listen, my friend, we all have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings meaning to our lives. Thirdly, the resurrection brings hope to my future life. Many people have no hope beyond death. They look at the grave as the end of the road with nothing beyond. That's a horrible way to live, as well as a horrible way to die. I don't know what I would do without Jesus. I don't know what I would do without the hope of eternal life. I don't know how anybody lives without Jesus and knowing that they have a future, not only in this life, because as we know from the Bible, this life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. You older people, I'm sure you can remember when you were very young. You younger people need to realize that you won't be young forever. You will grow old. You will get old. That's part of life. We all grow old. We all come to the end stages of life. That's the result of Adam's sin. Death came upon the world because of one man, Adam. Because he sinned in the Garden of Eden, death came upon all men. But life came because of Jesus' resurrection. Amen. Life, eternal life, another life apart from this one. Do you realize the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord?
Amen.
You may die in this life, but that's not the end of life. We have hope that we have a future life. That Jesus is going to resurrect us and give us a new body and give us a new life in heaven. We have a hope that we're going to live eternally in that blessed home that God is preparing for us. Listen, my friend, that resurrection brings hope for a future life. Fortunately, it is not the only way. While the Bible is most reliable textbook on life and death, the greatest proof is Jesus' resurrection. Our link to life after death is the fact of Jesus rising from the dead. If Jesus had been raised from the dead, it proves to us that resurrection is indeed possible for you and I. Listen very carefully, my friend. The resurrection made it possible for us to live again. Without the resurrection, we would not have had the ability to rise from the dead again. But because of Jesus' resurrection, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? That's what he asked Mary, Martha and Mary, when he came to Lazarus' tomb. He said, do you believe that you're going to live again? She said, in the last days. He said, no, I'm talking about Lazarus living again now. I'm going to raise him from the dead. But the thing about Lazarus would, he would die again.
Amen.
But Jesus' resurrection is unlike any resurrection found in Scripture. It is unlike anybody that was raised from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead to never die again and to ascend to heaven to make intercession for you and I.
Amen.
While we live in this life.
That's right.
Think about that.
Right.
He is our mediator before the throne of God. He is our advocate. He is our person before the throne of God that carries our cares to God. He carries our wants to God. He carries everything to God in His name, and God answers those prayers. Do you realize that? Do you realize that Satan, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, that Satan, the accuser of the brethren, is before the throne of God even today, constantly accusing us before the throne of God. But you know what? Jesus is there showing God that blood that was applied to our lives. He said, yeah, they may have sinned, but look at the blood. Yeah, they may have gotten out of your will, but look at the blood. Look at the blood that was applied to the life. He is our intermediary. He is our captain of all. Paul elaborated on Jesus' words when he said this, but now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Peter said this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That hope we have because of Jesus' resurrection is a hope that the world can't give. The world can't give you the hope Jesus can give you. The world can't give you the joy that Jesus can give you. The world can't give you the satisfaction that Jesus gives you. Listen, my friend, without Jesus, you have no hope. Without Jesus, you have no joy. Without Jesus, you have no eternal life. Without Jesus, you do not have the things that Jesus offered. You certainly don't have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Death is simply the doorway to life for believers. We will all face death. It is inevitable. Listen, Hebrews 9:27 says this, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment.
Amen.
We'll all die. We'll all die, or we'll be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. If Jesus comes back before we die, we'll still be changed. We'll die to the old life and we'll be changed into a new, more glorious body. But we'll all go through a physical change. Listen, my friend, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Listen, death, as I said, is simply the doorway to life for believers. We can be like the man whose tombstone bore the words, "Gone away to be with a friend." "Gone away to be with a friend" was written on one man's tombstone. It will be that way for us because of the resurrection. Fourthly, the resurrection brings victory to a defeated life. Paul wrote these words, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?' The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul speaks here of victory. Victory in life and victory in death. We have victory either way. Paul said, "It's needful I stay here to minister unto you, but to die is gain." Listen, my friend, we may not want to lead these walks of life. I'm ready to die, but that doesn't mean I want to die today. And I'm sure you don't want to. You want to see your kids grown. You want to see your grandchildren grown. You want to see the fruits of your labor and the fruits of your family. You want to see all these things. But listen very carefully, my friend. We have a hope of eternal life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. He made it possible for us to have a new life. He gives us the victory. Notice what Paul said. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul lives a victorious life because of his faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he believes that we should all share in that victory. But for some reason, many of us go through life not experiencing victory, but feeling as if we have been defeated. Our problem is that the reality of the resurrection is different from the reality of our experience. It is not what we are familiar with in everyday life. Our world is a world of breakfast cereals, lunch salads, business meetings and ball games, lunch at noon, dinner at 6, with church on the weekend. It is a world of automobiles and business deals, television programs, and going on vacation. It's not a world of empty graves and visiting angels. It's not a world of resurrection and messages from God. Or is it? That was the trouble the woman who came to visit the grave of Jesus had. They didn't think their world was that kind of world either. They didn't know that there is a world of transit reality just beyond this one, wanting to break through. They didn't realize when they went to the tomb that Jesus had rose from the grave. They didn't realize that he was soon going to ascend to heaven. They didn't realize that all of those graves that opened when Jesus was resurrected, all of those graves that opened, those people would die again. But listen very carefully to me, my friend. You will not die again. When you're resurrected, you're going to get a new glorious body. A body that will never get sick, never get tired, never grow old, never die. Think about that. That is a very important reality that we all need to take hold of. Listen, which one-day trip do we avoid because we think we might not come back from? Listen, that trip we'll take to heaven will be a one-way trip. It'll be a trip straight up. It'll be a trip, if you're here and you're a Christian, that'll be a trip, a one-way trip into the portals of heaven. Listen, my friend, I want you to take hold of that, and I want you to remember that God loves you. Everything you're going through, God is on your side. God is always going to be there with you. Listen, my friend, in conclusion, Easter Island is a small island off the coast of Chile. It has a small population, fewer than 1,000 people. Statues on the island date back to the 14th century. The island is distanced from most of the world's traffic patterns. It has little to do with the powerful institutions of economics, politics, and religion that shape this planet. Still, the little island sits there with its curious statues, viewed and studied by only a handful of tourists and scholars each year. The statues remain a symbol of civilization that once labored long and hard to carve and erect these monuments. Easter Island has a little importance in the 21st century, except for a place for tourists and a relic of the past. The modern day observation of Easter likewise remains insignificant to many in our society today. It's not important to many people today. It has no meaning. But to us as Christians, it has a great meaning. The resurrection of Jesus means everything to us. It's because He lives, we will live again. Amen. It's because He rose from the dead, we shall rise in the last days. The Bible says the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And these which were alive and remain shall join the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, my friend, if you have loved ones that have passed away, you can be assured they're going to meet you in heaven. They're going to meet you around the throne of God. And I want you to know today that it is all possible because of the resurrection of Jesus. Without the resurrection, we would have no hope. Without the resurrection, we would have no life. No hope. No hope for the future. No hope for today. Only because of the resurrection, we can have a blessed hope that we will live again. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the message You've given me this morning. We pray, God, that it has been delivered in a way that would help someone in their walk with You to realize how important the resurrection is. So what? You're alive again. We hope we've answered that question. There are many reasons that You gave us that You rose again, that we might have hope for today and that we might have hope for tomorrow. Lord, we thank You for that hope. We thank You for dying for us, and we thank You for rising again on this Easter Sunday. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.